We're now, I wanted to focus on one particular topic, which is the most unusual topic, which most people don't do, which is a really big pity in general, and that is Chanukah Sabayis, which is the dedication of one's house. Just by a show of hands, who has done a dedication of our house? Very good. Okay, sorry, has. Most people do not get to doing it because it is a very busy time, and it's very infrequent that a person has the opportunity, the wherewithal, the calmness of mind, to think about these things when one's trying to figure out where one's toothbrush is. And so therefore it becomes one of these things which is neglected, but I'd like to just unpack this. I had the opportunity of doing this for somebody last week Sunday, and I spent a little bit of time a summer ago actually just putting together a general framework for this, because most people don't know what's actually involved. So let's unpack this a little bit together, and here we go. So I'd like to first of all to thank Barbara and Michael Weiss, who are sponsoring today's shir, for the Aliyas Neshama of Mr. Judah Goldstein, Yehuda Shraga ben Moshe Yaakov. That's Barbara's father, who passed away. It's now his 22nd Yahrzeit, and he would spend a lot of time actually in our community, joining us here. He was a kind, hardworking, humble, and inclusive individual, whose eyes would light up when he spent time with his grandchildren. He was an accountant and a teacher, and he was also a gabbai for many years in his shul in Brooklyn. He loved music, both classical and chazanas, and he enjoyed his role as a chazan in out-of-town shuls like Pennsylvania and Alabama on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He was a World War II veteran, and he was active in the local Jewish war veterans chapter. Both him and his spouse were ardent Zionists who visited Israel many, many times. His zikra baruch, may his memory always be a blessing. So when we're asking about this business about a Chanukah Sabayis, about dedicating a house, you have to ask yourself, well, is this a new thing? You know, sometimes we have customs in Judaism, which are really just customs of the folks around us. Is this a new thing, or is this an old thing? How far back does this really go? So I'd like to look at two models for this. One model is a very beautiful observation. This is not in the notes. This is all outside. But the one is there's a beautiful She'iltos. She'iltos is attributed to Rav Hai Gaon. Rav Hai Gaon, one of the Gaonic period, on the Rosh Yeshiva of the Gaonic period. And he says the following. He says, and I'm going to quote it, it's not in the notes, it's not in the notes in front of us, but he says that why is it that we commemorate Shabbos? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested? The example he gives is Ke'inish, like a person, Deboni Beza, who built a house, V'kad Matzav Islei, when a person finishes it, Ovid Hilula Chadyuma. And then they would make a celebration upon finishing their house. A Hilula would be made. So in a similar sense, Shabbos is a Hilula of creation, if you think about it. Because Hashem spent 6 days creating this world. The seventh day is the celebration of that creation as well. In fact, there actually happens to be variant texts in this She'iltos. This is a very early text from over 1,000 years ago. And one variation is it's a hilula, which means a celebration. The other one is a kalila, which means a completion, a finishing or a celebration or completion of it as well. In fact, the Divrei Malkiel, when explaining this She'iltos, this Rav Hai Gaon statement over here, makes the observation that maybe both are true. Because on the one hand, why is it that you celebrate upon let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu commemorating Shabbos? On the one hand, it's a commemoration of all the work done till that point. On the other hand, it is also a celebration of the usage and the functionality of this new world, of this new universe, which is being celebrated as well. Similarly, when we finish a house, and whenever anybody moves into a house, there's always something that needs to be done and fixed and corrected and redone and so on. So there's a celebration. It's Baruch Shepotrani Mi Contractor Shelzeh, right? And that's the one part of it is that finally we've finished all the work. On the other hand, there's also the fact that we're celebrating. We're going to be using this. So in a similar way, both like Shabbos functions as looking back and looking forward, similarly finishing a house has both those attributes. Isn't it interesting that the way the She'iltos words it is he uses the finishing of the house, which is a tangible way that we can relate to this, as a way of relating to Shabbos, not the other way around. Meaning, for me, it's helpful to think of Shabbos that way. But he's saying, look at the building, the house, which a person naturally will feel, and use that as a way to understand Shabbos. That's the way he observes it as well. It is interesting that when Abraham Lincoln was asked the following question, he says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend for the first 4 sharpening the axe. So if you think about that, that's a little bit of what's going on over here, is that the celebration is of the framework in order to be able to live properly. So I'm celebrating all that work so I'm able to live as a human being so I can be a productive, inviting host, or whatever else it is that is necessary. I need that in order to be able to get there. That's idea number one. That's behind this. Very, very powerful idea. But there is more to it. In fact, if you look throughout the Torah, there is a mention of this idea of Chanukah Sabayis. In fact, one of the dispensations for leaving a milchemes mitzvah is not being in a yeshiva system. That's not one of them. Milchemes mitzvah, afilu choson mechedroi v'kala mechuposo. They have to leave in order to go fight a war so other people's children aren't dying while they're resting. But that's not one of the dispensations. One of the dispensations is mi shabona bayis chadosh v'loi chanachai. So the officer in war will say, whoever built a house and did not be mechanechet can return from war. That's what's called those who are shovim me'orche hamilchamai. The word used to describe that process, what was missing, is chanachai. What's chanachai? Where do we use that word elsewhere? What was that? Chanukah, good, but I just say even all more basically. Chinuch, right? Chinuch is what we call today education, is the same thing. He who built a new house and did not educate it. So what does that mean precisely? So the Mefarshim, like the Rashi and the Radak, explain that chinuch comes from a lashon of haschala, of beginning. They did not begin living in it, is the way I'd understand it. But I would perhaps suggest more than that, is if chinuch is education, what is chinuch? It is giving a direction. It's giving a reason to be here, a reason to live here. Why is it that we spent all this money? Why did we invest all this time? In fact, the Zohar has a very, very powerful statement, which is said in Parashas Tazria, and it goes on to say that when they built the Beis HaMikdash, as they were building it, they would take every stone and they would say about it, Kad shari lemivne boila ad kure bepume dahap lepulchana de kutcha brichuhu bani. That a person would say, I'm building this, I'm carving this stone, I'm chopping this tree for the service of God. They would give intention to every act towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash. You'll see sometimes people will, I have a brother-in-law who whenever he starts eating on Shabbos, he says, the covered Shabbos Kodesh. What he's doing is he's giving intentionality to a mundane action. Similarly, the Zohar says, when building the Beis HaMikdash, you need to attribute intentionality to it as well. So much so, the Zohar continues. It's not in the most people quote the beginning of the Zohar. The rest of the Zohar says, and that's why when the nation of Israel came to the land of Israel, and they had their houses, which sometimes were contracted leprosy of the buildings, they had to break them down. Why? Oftentimes because the inhabitants, the pagans who had lived there, lived and they dedicated their houses as shrines to their deities. They had to be broken down to be rebuilt with the intentionality of living as a monotheist. That was part of the process of the purification of not just the land, but the structures on the land, the Zohar says as well. Is that remarkable? Which means to say, coming back to that word, mi shebona bayis v'loi chanochoi. Chanochoi comes back to the word chinuch, which is dedicating, focusing. What is the purpose of this experience? Why am I specifically living here as well? In fact, it goes further than just intentionality, because the Shloha Kodesh, Rav Horowitz, makes observation in Parashas Vayigash, in his book called, what's Shloh stand for, by the way? Anybody who's familiar? Shnei Luchos HaBris, that's the name of his book, so we call him the Shloha HaKodesh. He makes the observation that when Yehuda was sent by Yaakov in Parashas Vayigash ahead to Goshen, it says, yes, Yehuda Shalach Lefonov, that Yaakov sent Yehuda ahead. So what is he? The Shla Obz makes observation. He says, "Reishis davar yire bapu'ula zu lahavin inyan letzorech gavoa." You need to start off. Yaakov is about to settle down in a new place. They're about to create a ghetto of the Hebrews among the heathens. And in order to do so, he needs to dedicate a space that is going to be filled with Kedusha. It needs to be a place where I'm going to send somebody who's going to lay the framework in order for us to be there as well. And that's why he says, "K'moy mi shezoich el abayis livnois bayis," like a person who builds a new house, "Yetzayer b'machshavtoi b'tchila," a person should conceptualize in their mind, "Eize cheder b'bayis yeh muchan lo liyos sagur shom l'torah l'tivila v'yisboididus umakom muchan bayis v'adachachavim." Think to yourself, where will your svarim belong? Where will you hold learning groups? Where will you invite teachers into your house? What room will be dedicated? By doing so, it's like the Yehuda being sent ahead, where you're intending to make this not a structure to celebrate for people to look at and for pictures to be taken, but for it to be a place that is going to be an inclusive place for Torah and Tefillah and Mitzvahs as well. So very, very much a very profound perspective. On the one hand, it is like the Shabbos of creation, right? It's the looking back and looking forward for a successful creation. On the other hand, it's also the intentionality, the chinuch, which is necessary. These are two models which you see in the Torah itself. So lema'aseh, so tachlis, is it a mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah to do a chinuch habayis? So it's a debate among the poskim. So for instance, the Tashbetz says, wait a second, if we look at all the chanukahs that were done, there are a number of chanukah sabayis which are done in throughout Torah and Neviim and Ksuvim. So for instance, in Parshas Tetzaveh and Shmini and Naso, we see the chanukah sabayis. In fact, we see the end of the dedication with the Nesiim in Parshas Naso, where they bring the dedication of the house. We see it later on when it comes to Melachim Aleph Perek Ches, where Shlomo HaMelech dedicates the Beis Olamim, the Beis Aminosh. Phenomenal. We see it again when Ezra comes back and rededicates the second bias. There are a lot of descriptions of Chinuch HaBayis. But one which is not in Tanakh, which is a very important one, is from where the festival got its name, which is Chanukah. Right? So Chanukah is not just Chanukah, Chafei, all that stuff. That's great numeric interest and hints. But the word itself means dedication, right? So and why was it called dedication? Because they rededicated the Beis Hamikdash after the defilement of the Greeks and Hellenized Jews. Just to be clear about that. So this is the rededication of the temple by the traditionalists. That being the case, if that's the case, so what type of commemoration do we do on that festival, and what is the status of that, says the Tashbetz, Rav Tzemach of Duran. His observation is on Chanukah, is there a Seudas mitzvah? The answer is no. Unlike Purim, where Purim, the meal to commemorate Purim is a mitzvah, on Chanukah, it is only a Seudas mitzvah if you add to it songs, Torah, and Thanksgiving. That's when it becomes a Seudas Mitzvah. So says the Tashbetz, Rav Tzemach of Duran, he says, if you think about that means to say the same applies to our Chanukah Sabayis. When we dedicate our houses, it itself is not a mitzvah per se, like Chanukah, the meals on Chanukah are not a mitzvah per se, but if we're to make that meal special, elevate it, then it is as well. And that's why the Yam Shel Shlomo, the Maharshal, Rav Luria, Rav Shlomo Luria points out that he says, it's not in the notes, but he says, "Befrat ba'avon oseinu rabim." He says, in our great sins today, he says, "Osam seudos v'chinuchim she'osim ha'hamon achshav hu kalon." He says, what I see people dedicating their houses is a disgrace. V'rak l'ravois ha'garon b'schoik v'kalos rosh. And it becomes a drinking party, it becomes frivolity, they get an entertainer, and he says, it is such an embarrassment. That's what the Yam Shel Shlomo says. He says, apparently, you know, it's amazing, this is not new, none of these things are new. It's that was what he was dealing with in his day, and he says it's very important, therefore, to take the first meal that a person has in a new house, to dedicate it to Torah and to Tefillah, to make sure that it's a time that a person is elevating and spiritually directing where it should be as well. And so in the first way of looking at this, if using Chanukah as the model for Chanukah Sabayis, the idea, the concept is certainly very valid. But the meal itself, the celebration itself, depends on what you do with it. If it is empty, devoid of spirituality, then that's a real pity. Then in a certain sense, you missed it. That was Sudas Rishus at best. That's one way of looking at it in halacha, is what is the content of the meal? How are you expressing that in the first place? However, there's another way of looking at this altogether. And that is let's examine the other model, right? Not the idea of what am I using the house for, but rather the other model. Remember, there's the person gets a dispensation. One of the four people who gets a dispensation from being part of the army is a person who builds a house and was not mechanechet. So let's explore the parameters of that mitzvah. The Yerushalmi says, what happens if you build a bias in Chutz La'aretz? So let's say the person has a beautiful villa on the Riviera on the other side of the Jordan, right? And real estate is much better over there. It's a failing country which doesn't have much of an economy. So I'm gonna find a cheap contractor and make my house on the other side of the Jordan. So in that case, would I be allowed to now exempt myself from the war? In fact, I can imagine, as very good Jews would find, they'd probably start doing that in order to escape the draft. So the Yerushalmi says, such people are not choizrim me'orche ha'melchama. Such people do not have the dispensation. A bias in Chutz La'aretz does not have the dispensation of that as well. Which means, if you sort of dig down into this as well, the response of the Chuvas Be'er Sheva was asked this question about the following. He says, let's say a person made a neder not to attend a Su'udas mitzvah, a person says, I'm not attending Su'udas. Now, why would you do that? I don't know. But a person makes a neder not to attend a Su'udas mitzvah. Would they be allowed to attend the meal at the Chanukah Sabayis of their neighbor? Would they be able to do that? So the Be'er Sheva says, it depends. If it's in Israel, they would not be able to attend it. If it is in the diaspora, they would be able to attend it. Because we see from the way the Yerushalmi frames the mitzvah of Mi Shabon Abayis Olai Chanachai, that applies only in the land of Israel. Step out into the diaspora, there is no mitzvah. Therefore, it would depend not on the function of the house, but where the house is. What's the logic? What's the logic here? Why is it not a Su'udas mitzvah in the diaspora, according to this?
Because there's a mitzvah of Mi Shabon Abayis.
Bingo. Therefore, if that's the case, the way the Yerushalmi looks at it, and many of the poets can look at it, is Chinuch Habayis is only a function of the culmination of the mitzvah of Yeshiva Oretz. In Chutz Oretz, there's no mitzvah of Yeshiva Oretz. And therefore, it would be void of any significance in Chutz Oretz itself as well. The Avnei Nezer has a little bit of a question. This is Sakha Chavareva. Has a long arichos on this, and he says, but he quotes the Minhag that people would do a Chinuch Habayis on Shabbos, or Yom Tov. And he says, but isn't the fact that doing it on a Shabbos Yom Tov enough of a mitzvah? Because there's a mitzvah to have a Shabbos meal, there's a mitzvah to have a Yom Tov meal. And he goes into a backwards and forwards and says, let's say a person made a house just for Shabbos, right? They made a Shabbos house, right, in the Hamptons. Wherever it is that they make their house, right? So they make their house, and this is their Shabbos house. And they always go there to eat Shabbos meals. That is a binyan shel mitzvah, because that person is using it for Shabbos. So why should it detract from the house the fact that it's also used for another 6 days every week? Meaning, I'm building the house for the sake of the mitzvahs I'm going to perform in that house. And it happens to be it also has an additional 6 days that, you know, devoid of Kedusha necessarily by default. But that should not detract from that, says the Avnei Nezer, suggesting that perhaps that there might still be a mitzvah in the usage of that house. He concludes, just listen to his words. He says, "Mikol makom eino mitzvah hayeshiva boy rak hasu'udah v'asimcha lo etzem hayeshiva v'bayis." He does acknowledge that in the end of the day, when it comes to living in Israel, actually living in the house is the mitzvah. Whereas in Chutz La'aretz, it's doing the mitzvahs in the house, which is really a one step lower. But it could be enough to qualify for mitzvah. Looking at it from these two angles, in a certain sense, there happens to be a little bit of a debate as to what the function of my Chanukah Sabayis is. Is it a function of what I'm doing in it, or is it a function of it itself being a continuation of the mitzvah? Is it about the mitzvahs I'm doing and starting in it? Or is it like, and the Tashbait saying, well, depending what you do in it, and the Yamshel Shlomo saying, well, if I'm going to start with Torah and Tefillah, then it's a real chinuch? Is it, or the Shabbos meals like the Avnei Nezer? Or is it, no, an extension of Yishuv Aretz, and therefore lacking in the diaspora as well? That seems to be a little bit of a debate. In fact, the Magen Avraham on Shulchan Aruch quotes both of these, and he says, according to the Tshuvas Be'er Sheva, which I just quoted beforehand, no mitzvah chinuch habayis in the diaspora. Whereas according to the Yamshel Shlomo, if you decide to dedicate it with Torah and Tefillah, then it is a mitzvah chinuch habayis in Chutz Aretz. Just to understand how significantly devoid we are in the diaspora of this as well. And just concluding this section with the observation made by the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says, this is pretty remarkable. It's on the notes, but he says the following. He says when a person is building a house and extending their property and getting a variance to make their property bigger in Chutz La'aretz, he says that kind of person is essentially saying that they are li'siyaesh min ha'geula b'kayotze ba'elu. A person is essentially saying, I kind of believe in Mashiach and it would be nice at some point in time, but in the meantime, I'm going to invest a few million into this place because I kind of believe that I like the swimming pool and the court, and right? That's what's essentially happening right now, right? And he says that he goes on to say, he says, Arei bin yonos sakana ve'ena mitzvah la'agein. He says that is not a mitzvah. In fact, it's considered a liability as well. And he goes on to struggle with how can Jewry exist in the diaspora? How can Jewry exist in the diaspora, flourish and invest in a place which is not theirs, which will not last, which they will be kicked out of or alienated from at some point in time? It's only a matter of time. How could they do that? And then he goes back to the verse in Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu says that is the default assumption of the nation of Israel. When they go into the diaspora, they're hesitant to invest in building. They're hesitant to build. And so he says, "Benu batim v'ashevu." Yirmiyahu assures them, build houses, get married. You have to seek out the peace of the city. Why is that? He says the default position is we're hesitant to do that, and rightfully so. He says because in the end of the day, he says, "Ach kol ze livnois lelo tzorech," building without a need is really in a certain sense a slap in the face of Jewish destiny. He says, but that's for no need. He says, but we're living in a long and an extended exile and we don't know when it'll end. He says, in the fact that we don't know, we need space, we need a place for our children, we need a place for our grandchildren. We have to sometimes make and build. So that's the way we look at it, meaning it's a necessity. But then in that necessity, we say, well, let us put Torah in here, let's put Tefillah in here, because that's the only anchor we have in the diaspora. It's not Yeshuva Aretz. It's not our natural place. It's not our host country. It's not our culture. It's not our language. But we have to be here. So while we're here, we need to do it, but there has to be that balance as well. Very, very, very harsh words from the Chasam Sofer, which is why the Chinuch Habayis in the Chutz Aretz, in a certain sense, has more to make up than in Israel. In Israel, the Chinuch Habayis is natural because this is the mitzvah of living here. In Chutz Aretz, it's not the mitzvah of living here. It's subsistence. It's being able to get through the diaspora. So let's at least anchor it in what is our tradition, which will allow us to be able to come through this as well. Very, very different way of looking at things. That's a very sharp perspective as well. I know people who refuse to pay their last mortgage payment in the diaspora. They just keep a little bit. They keep extending it a little bit just so that they're not going to be fully invested in the diaspora. Again, there's different ways that people do things. The Zeichel L'Churban also reflects that as well. I'd like to just do a quick thing over here. I just want to show everybody this. I put this together, and again, the stapler didn't work, and there are not enough. But what I did is I did try to put together all the different practices of Chanukah Sabbath in one place, because most people are not used to this at all. So, for instance, the stapler, Rabbi Yaakov Kanievsky, Zeichel Tzadik Livracha, made the following suggestion. He says, the first thing you should do, I had the schus of doing this last Sunday with somebody, is to go through all the 15 Shir HaMalos. Go through the every say together, the 15 Shir HaMalos, right? So Kuf Chaf to Kuf Lamed Daled in Tehillim, to be said together. Following that, a person should be saying Tehillim Tzadi Aleph, which is Yosheh B'Seir Seil Yon, talking about Hashem's protection, and then Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid, which is about the dedication of the house to David. Question why that doesn't actually mention anything to do with dedication, and it just talks about David HaMelech's travails in life, not for now. And the Stabler Gaon says that a person should say Divrei Torah, in words of thanksgiving, at the ceremony as well. And there are a number of, that's number one. The Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, makes observation, talks about a number of psukim, talking about blessing, leaving your house, leaving your field, and a certain brachas which are given. Onav HaKoach, the bracha when it talks about Yam Yosef and the brothers. And then there's a Yiratzon that he adds as well, followed by a number of psukim, which I put into over here as well. The Chida then says a person should sit down at that meal, learn all of Mishnah's brachas, all of Mishnah's beitza, and all of Mishnah's tamid. Right, that's a significant amount of Mishnah to learn. We did not do that. That was for the sake of the people then. But which is, by the way, those Mishnahs are an acronym of bias, right? You notice that? Brachos, Brachos Yom Tov, which is Beitza, and Tamid, right? So that's bias. You learn all the Mishnahs of bias in the house. And then there's a number of other things to learn. That Zohar that we looked at in Tazria, learning through the entire Zohar area. Baba Mitzia Kuf Zayin Amabez, which talks about where one's house should be in relationship to the city and people looking at one's house. And Ayin Hara is a section which is learnt in the house then, in Bar Mitzia. The Mishnah Torah talks about Hilchos Deos, about the importance and responsibility of a person building a house. Remember, by the way, lived in the diaspora. Meaning to say, it's important to be able to establish oneself and to be able to have a care for one's family. In fact, the Rambam says you should have a house before you get married. Right? Today, oh boy, completely the opposite. But the point is that there's a value on living like an upright, honest person as well. And then the minhag is to learn all of the first parak of the Rambam Hilchos Beis HaBechira in the Mishnah Torah about building the Beis HaMikdash. You learn through the entire first parak altogether. This is a combination, as you notice, by the way, of Tefillah and Torah together. And then there's a very beautiful prayer at the end, which is about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect us, should find, bring his Shechin into this house, should be a place of Torah, should be a place of Tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protect us and our children in this place. And then there's a Kaddish Derabbanan at the end as well. It was funny because whenever I had the opportunity of doing this, most of the neighbors don't know what they're getting in for. They think it's going to be, you know, it's ice coffee and cookies. And they didn't realize that there's a serious learning program over here. But this is part of what it's meant to be. And you can imagine after this is not a fast thing. This takes at least half an hour to do if one's doing it properly. For half an hour, 45 minutes to be able to do this. And then you add Divrei Torah, you add Divrei Bracha, you add words of gratitude. That's a very significant ritual which allows a person to process this in a meaningful way. And specifically with the words of the Chasam Sofer, is anchoring our existence, our necessity to live here in the diaspora, in a place in Torah and Tzvila, is a remarkable thing. It's the best is to be able to do this as soon as one's able to get into the house. The house that I went to last week had no furniture whatsoever in it yet. It was completely devoid of, there was literally the first day. A lot of people, it's almost impossible. There's the moving van and there's this and there's that and I wear the kids' pajamas and it's very, very hectic, right? But at least one should try to make a time of dedication. Actually, there's a person in the shul who finished their construction of the house after a very long time and they wanted to do this, but it turned out to be in October 2023 and they felt that it wasn't the right time. When Israel was in war, they just felt that it was not the right time to be doing a chinuch habayis, so they pushed it off as well, which is appropriate. So there's all kinds of different complications when it comes to this, but a person should be thinking about dedicating, and it could be a Shabbos meal where one has one's neighbors and friends, but trying to take a time where one is able to say, I want to elevate this. I want to give the intentionality. This should be a place of bracha. Folks, we're going to close over here. Thank you so much. And this and.